Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
This season of the year, there are so many facets of the Christmas story and so many things that we can look at. But one of the aspects that is absolutely central to our understanding what Christmas is about is the whole idea of waiting. When I was a child back in the previous millennium, Christmas used to be something that people would celebrate on Christmas. And there were even a lot of families that went out on Christmas Eve and cut down a tree and brought it in and decorated it and so forth. And then, of course, there were those who wanted to prolong the celebration, and they had the 12 days of Christmas, okay? And so that was like, wow, almost 2 weeks of celebrating Christmas. That's really cool. We didn't do that at our house, but we knew people who did, and it was an impressive thing. They made a big deal out of the Christmas celebration. We used it as an opportunity to get the next size up in whatever clothes, that was more what it was about. Occasionally you'd get something. I remember one year I got a football, and that was really cool. I was never any good in football, but I owned one, and so that was a good thing. Now, people are putting out Christmas decorations right after Labor Day. That's a real adjustment for some of us old-timers for whom it's not supposed to just be a season of merchandising. There's supposed to be this sense of anticipation and looking forward to Christmas. And instead, I fear that commercialization in our culture has made Christmas such a prolonged celebration of everything except Jesus that a lot of people are just eager for it to be over. You know, I hear people saying, oh, if I hear another Christmas song, or I have to work in a place where they play the same Christmas songs over and over and over and over, and I just want to scream. But what a sad thing that Christmas becomes something that we're tired of instead of longing for, looking forward to. So this morning's message has to do with waiting. It has to do with the fact that that first Christmas was something that was long awaited. Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. There was a longing for not just years, for generations. People longing for God to bring salvation to his people because we can't save ourselves. One of the places where this is referenced in Scripture is in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, 27 through 4, 7. This is God's word. For those of you who are baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Now, I say that as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. Instead, he is under guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were in slavery under the elements of the world. When the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir. Heavenly Father, help us to understand and believe your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The Apostle Paul talks about what our condition was apart from Christ. Then he talks about our condition now in Christ, that because of Jesus, we have been adopted into the family and given the status of heir. That's just amazing. There's a phrase in here that is critical, and it's at the heart of what we're talking about today. Because if we want to understand what God has done for us and what God is doing for us and what God will do for us, we need to see this phrase. Verse 4 of chapter 4. When the time came to completion, God sent His Son. God is beyond time. He has always been, and He always will be. He is truly eternal, and He's the creator of all things. Everything else has a start date, because God created everything. And so when a little child says, well, where did God come from? They're asking a sensible question for someone who doesn't know Him, because they look around at everything else in life, and everything else came from somewhere. Milk comes from a cow. Cows come from other cows. Buildings are built by people. People are born as babies. They've got a mommy and a daddy. Everything's got an origin. It's got somewhere it comes from. So surely God must too. No, God has always been. But for those of us who live in time, our perspective on time is, let's just say, not accurate. When we look at time, we feel as if, you know, sometimes we feel like time's flying. Other times we feel like time is dragging. But our perspective is all centered around us, okay? It's in reference to how we feel and what's going on with us. My wife has been doing, for a number of years now, genealogical research concerning our extended family, and it's yielded some very interesting things. But one of the things that it has helped cultivate in her is the realization of how short life is and what a little blip on the screen each of us is. I mean, we look at this person, and then this person, and then this person, and then this person, and they come and they go. And we come and we go. And our life, however long it may be, whether we die in childhood or whether we die past age 100, it's just that long a line on the chart. Not very long. So when we talk about God causing people to wait for things, having a plan, telling us what the plan is, and then we got to wait for it to happen, part of the reason that's hard for us to embrace and be at peace with is because we're focused on our little part of the line. God's seeing the big picture. Let me give you just an example. From Genesis chapter 15. Turn to it if you would. Genesis chapter 15, beginning in verse 13. God is talking with Abraham about the future. And God is not speculating about what's going to happen. He is letting Abraham in on what's coming. Abraham at this point is still named Abram. Okay? And in Genesis 15, beginning in verse 13, then the Lord said to Abram, know this for certain. Your offspring will be resident aliens for 400 years in a land that does not belong to them and will be enslaved and oppressed. However, I will judge the nation they serve, and afterward they will go out with many possessions. But you will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. Is that remarkable? God is telling Abram about his descendants when he still wasn't able to have children. Okay? This is a childless man, and God is speaking of his descendants. You remember that Abram had to wait a long time before even Ishmael was born? And then after Ishmael, he had to wait some more before Isaac was finally the fulfillment of the promise and the one through whom his offspring would be counted. Abram had to wait. Abraham, he became, had to wait. Even though God had said, this is what's going to happen. That didn't make it happen right then. There was a long waiting period. And God says here, it's going to be hundreds of years that his people, the Jews, are going to live as resident aliens, which turns into oppressed slaves. 400 years. How about if I were to tell you, hey, listen, I just got word from God, your situation's going to improve in about 400 years. It's like, I won't be here. Well, yes, but apart from that, you need to know it is going to get better. Okay?
Hi, this is Jim Wood with Abiding in Christ. As our financial year comes to a close on December 31st, we would be especially grateful to hear from you. This broadcast is funded by the generosity of God's people. And whether you use the postal service or give securely online by going to pastorwood.org or call us at 866-41-ABIDE. In any case, we're grateful for gifts large and small. Every gift matters. And we're trusting God to reward you. He promised he will.
Folks, I want you to understand, God knows we need to wait on
it's
things.
A part of the process. It's a part of his plan.
And so when we look at Christmas, we see obviously the idea of waiting for his first coming. And what we read in Galatians was when the time had fully come, folks have speculated about what is that referring to. And one of the things that it's referring to is world conditions. Because the spread of the gospel was going to be possible in a way that it hadn't been previously. Because of the Greek Empire and then the Roman Empire, there were conditions in place that were very favorable for the spread of the gospel. The Greeks had made it so that everybody spoke the same language. If you wanted to do business, you had to speak Greek. And so it wasn't the high-toned classical Greek. It was an ordinary, everyday Greek, kind of like American English, you know? I mean, it's the Brits want to know what language we speak, you know. It's like, what do you call that? You know, is that American? Because it's not English. But it's our version of English. And so there was a common language. Not only that, there was the Roman peace, the Pax Romana, where because the Roman Empire had conquered, you could go from place to place without the disruption of war. There was peace on earth. Huh. Not only that, there were roads. Very impressive when you see the way that back in the days of our Lord Jesus being on earth, you could travel, not just by ship, by road. They had built roads, and they built them all up into Europe. There were folks who had become Christians as part of the Roman army who would travel to far-off places and bring the gospel with them. It's believed that that's how the first missionaries to Great Britain arrived. It was Roman soldiers who believed in Jesus telling people about him. Because even though they were in the Roman army, they were in the Lord's army. And they were representing the King of Kings wherever they went. So these circumstances certainly made it better for the spread of the gospel. But ultimately, God is the one who decides. Now is the time. And God had decreed, and even the book of Daniel had prophesied the timing of Messiah's coming. God wasn't saying, well, I'm going to have to wait and see how the Greeks and Romans do. No, just like he told Abraham how long the people would be in Egypt, and then the fact that they'd be brought out, and one of the contributing factors in when he was going to bring them out was when the Amorites would have gotten to the zenith of their evil. Okay? God says, I'm going to destroy them, but not yet, because they're going to get worse. And I'm going to tolerate it until it gets to this point right here, and then I'm cutting it off. Is that amazing? God's seeing all these different pieces at once. Now just try to process that. And let me tell you something. He's already planned what he's going to do, and he will do it. And so when it came time for Jesus to be born, God utilized the Roman government that was oppressing the Jewish people in order to cause things to work out exactly the way they were supposed to. A decree goes out from the Roman government calling for a census. And the Jewish people are all supposed to go back to where they came from in order to record and pay taxes. And what that requires, of course, is that Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem, which is where God had said the Messiah would be born. God doesn't just see what's going on. God says, okay, now we're going to move this piece right here. And God orchestrates events, even governments, for his glory and the good of his people. Now, for generations, his people longed for the coming of Messiah. Now Messiah has come. And when we celebrate communion, we'll say what we've said over and over and over and over. And that is, Jesus said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show forth the Lord's death until he comes. Exactly. We're not just looking back at what has happened. We're looking forward to what God has said will happen. Jesus is coming again. And so the Bible talks about our longing for his coming. We're eager for Jesus to come again. So we look back at people who waited and waited and waited, and then it happened. And now we look forward with eagerness, longing for Jesus to come again. When Jesus comes again, we're going to be like him. We're going to be holy and righteous and all that he is. We're going to be like him. That's mind-blowing. I'm staggered by that. The passage we read, Galatians 3 says, you've been clothed with Christ, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. And in chapter 4, verse 7, so you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir. In Romans 8, 17, I want you to see this, because this tells us what kind of heir we are. I'll start back in verse 15. Sounds a lot like Galatians. Romans 8, 15 and following, you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Now that co-heirs, the idea there is that basically he doesn't get the big piece of the pizza and the rest of us get the crumbs. We have a joint share in the inheritance. That blows my mind. Is that maybe a misunderstanding of the scripture? Well, look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. This is not a maybe. This isn't a hope so. This isn't if it doesn't get used up. This is an inheritance kept in heaven for you. It's imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We're waiting, aren't we? You rejoice in this, even though now, for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though not seeing him now, you believe in him, and you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In Hebrews 1:2, we find out that Jesus is the heir, not of a lot, but of all things. He is the heir of all things, and we are co-heirs with him. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21, we're told, hear this, saints, all things are yours. All things are yours. We don't lack anything. We are seated with him in heavenly places. God has already provided for us in Christ Jesus more than everything we need. He's given us all things. The universe was created by our Father. And when we were rebels, he decided not to destroy us, but to rescue us and adopt us into his family and make us heirs of all things. That's how much he loves me. I'm not just going to squeak in. I'm going to be carried in by his grace. And when I get there, I'm going to look like him. I'm going to act like him. I'm going to be like him. Because he will accomplish it. That is really good news. Folks, this Christmas, we've got a lot to look forward to.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.